Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 68, The Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival Adventures. I need to start out by saying that this episode is extremely long. It is a collection of a lot of different stories and things that happened at the festival. I'm going to apologize in advance if this is too long to listen to in a single setting, but I didn't want to necessarily break this up into 10-15 different shows. I hope you enjoy. I have to first start out with a little bit of an explanation. You see, Wayne and I just got a new game. And I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I love to play games. I love all kinds of games. I am not a very competitive person. I prefer to play the game for the enjoyment of the game. In fact, when I play poker and cribbage, I sometimes go for that inside straight, knowing darn well that the probability isn't on my side, but wouldn't it be way cool if it came through? So, I love to play games, and Wayne got me a new, very engrossing game. So, Thursday, when I was supposed to be getting ready to go to the Sheep and Wool Festival, I was playing the game. I did take some time out and spent 2-3 hours vacuuming out the van, but when it came right down to packing, I put it off until the last minute because Wayne had come home and we started playing again together. It was very late when I finally went upstairs to pack, and I'm very methodical about my packing. I take three things. If I'm going to have 2 days, I usually take just one extra. So if it's 4 days, I take five. If it's 5 days, I take six, you know, and so on. So I pulled out three pairs of pants, three shirts, three bras, three pairs of underwear, set it aside, and then I grabbed my jammy pants and a couple of jammy shirts. Then I gathered up my toiletry items and I put those in the suitcase. I usually put those in first because that bag's kind of big, so then I pack around that bag. So got my toiletry items, I put that in there, packed up everything, and then pulled everything out again because I didn't put the jammies on top. So put the jammies on top. Then the next morning, all I have to do is throw in my makeup bag, my toothbrush, and I'm ready to go. I pack everything up, put the suitcase out in the hallway so I won't disturb Wayne in the morning whenever I get up and get ready to leave. I got over to my friend Terry's house a little early. She hadn't gotten the message that I was running early. I helped her get her stuff organized, put it all in the van, and then I went out and I programmed the GPS. You see, I bought Wayne a new GPS for Christmas this year. I had bought him one several years ago, and when he first got the first GPS, he was kind of like, "Why do I need this? I never get lost." And then he became quite addicted to it. It has these neat features, at least the old one did, of putting down breadcrumbs so we could always retrace our tracks. And it would also tell you where the closest food or gas station was. Very, very handy device. The new one, unfortunately, does not put down breadcrumbs. And it thinks that the road that we live on is only an eighth of the mile, where in reality it's about a mile long. So it doesn't know how to get to our house, but that's not a big deal. It just kind of gets annoyed at us when we go driving off in the woods as far as it's concerned. So I know it's got some issues, but it's very handy because you can see the map, you can see where you are, you can see where you're going, and you can plug in an address and it will tell you how to get there. Plugged in the address and I told it that we were going to that hotel. And that hotel was a different hotel than what we usually went to. Then we're off and on the road. It got a little confused and wanted us to go somewhere slightly different, but I ignored it and went the way that we always go. We go up 86 and hit 29, and from 29 get on to, it's either 270 or 70 into Frederick. Then we stay at Frederick, and in the morning we'll go on to Howards County. Well, it kept wanting us to take the business route instead of the bypass, and I was ignoring it. And it would say, recalculating every time I ignored what it told me to do and took a different route. We giggled about it for a while and then it just became downright annoying. So I turned off the feature of telling us where to go. And we had a nice pleasant trip. When we were right outside of Frederick, I decided that I really probably should turn the GPS back on as far as giving us directions, because this was a new hotel. We had never stayed there before. And, you know, you can't always find a cop to give you directions when you need one. So I turned the GPS back on and it told us to take an immediate right. So I took an immediate right. And then it told us to take an immediate left. And so I took an immediate left. And here we were on a road more or less parallel to the road that we were previously on. And oh my God, I swear the GPS was getting revenge, because this road had no shoulder. It was two-lane, a narrow two-lane road. And it was a roller coaster going up and down and up. And down, and I lost my stomach so many times. I don't think I've been on such a roller coaster ride since I was a teenager and went to Six Flags Over Texas. Terry and I kind of looked at each other and went, oh no. But then we were committed. We had no idea where we were, because this road was winding around and we were taking lefts and rights and we didn't know where we were. We had to just put our faith in the GPS that it would, in fact, get us to where we needed to go. And it kept saying that the hotel was just 5 minutes away, 3 minutes away, 2 minutes away. And then suddenly we were in civilization and it said, your destination is on the left. And sure enough, it was. I was very impressed. We checked into the hotel. I pulled out my jammies and my toiletry bag and got ready and bunked in for the evening. The next morning, as Terry was up taking her shower, I was pulling my stuff out to get it organized. And what I do is I like to set up three piles, you know, one for each day. Although I know there's only 2 days I'm going to be there. And, you know, put the emergency stuff back in the bag. You know, decide what I'm going to wear Saturday and Sunday. And the extra stuff goes in the bag in case I need something for Saturday night. Because, you know, who knows what can happen. I could trip and fall and, you know, get covered in manure or something. These things happen to me all the time. I have to be prepared. So I'm pulling things out and I only have one shirt. And oh my God, I can't find any bras. That just, you know, I had a clenching feeling in my throat, because although I could, in reality, just go over to Walmart or Target or whatever and get another t-shirt. Bras are expensive, and I brought money to buy wool. I didn't want to go out and buy bras. And, oh, I hate bra shopping. but bras are, in fact, a necessity. I did have two sleep shirts, and one of them had a built-in bra, so I could kind of deal with it that way, but I was fretting. And I was searching all around, and in my searching, I knocked over my makeup bag, and it fell behind my suitcase. And I pulled my suitcase out, and there were the bras hiding back there. They must have jumped out of the bag when I pulled my toiletry bag out. So I had a slight sigh of relief, but still, only one t-shirt. But you know, no big deal. The woman that I originally came up to Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival with always said, just pack one shirt and then buy a shirt while you're at the festival because you know you're going to buy a shirt anyway, so why waste good space by packing a shirt? And I thought, okay, finally, I'm going to follow her advice and I'm just going to go to the festival and buy myself a t-shirt because she's right. I'm going to buy myself a t-shirt anyway. No problem. Things are okay. So Terry and I get ready. We get into the car. And luckily, there's a sign that tells us how to get to 270 and on to 70. So we're set. And when we're driving over to 70, we notice that we are, in fact, only a mile and a half from the hotel that we usually stay at. So suddenly we had our bearings, we knew where we were, everything was great. We drove in to the festival, and oh goodness, we were not that late getting there. It was something like 8:45 and the festival didn't open till 9. But my goodness, parking was already horrific. And they parked us way back in the boonies on this monstrous hill. I had 3 bags of fleece that I needed to take to Zeilinger's for processing. We looked at the whole thing, the whole distance that we were going to have to go, and we decided, we'll see what happens tomorrow. So I left the wool in the van. I just pulled it and moved it around. And I asked Terry that when she bought stuff that she would put it like behind the fleece so that the fleece was still the closest to the car. So it would be easy to pull out the fleeces whenever we were ready to take them into Zeilinger's. Then the first thing, of course, we needed to do was get me a t-shirt. Besides, they sometimes sell out of the really pretty colors of t-shirts anyway. We both decided that the t-shirt building was the first stop we were going to make. We're heading that way, and we turn the corner onto the small road that building is on, and we stop dead in our tracks. The line is out and around the building and coming out the other side. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I made a decision whenever I decided to go to Maryland this year that I was going to enjoy myself, and enjoying myself did not include standing in line. Thank you very much. I had made a pledge that I was not going to stand in a single line for anything except, of course, the bathroom. But they brought porta potties in this year, and the porta potties weren't as popular as the, you know, standing regular bathrooms. There were actually a couple of times that I got into the bathroom with no line at all. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We decided that we would split our ways, which we always do. I think I mentioned before that I'm a bit of a loner, so when we get to the festival, Terry goes her way, I go my way, and then we get together once or twice during the day to find out what the other person found and then go search it out. This is kind of, you know, a divide and conquer approach to the festival. She goes off one way, I go off the other way, and suddenly I heard my name being called, and I thought, well, did I forget to give Terry the key to the car, or did she forget to tell me something? So I turn around and I start looking for Terry, and I don't see Terry anywhere. Instead, I see another woman jumping up and down and waving her arms in the shirt line saying, "Carrie, Carrie." And it was Kim. I was so glad to meet Kim. Kim was one of the people who actually validated my memories. It was really kind of nice. She had sent me an email soon after I had done the Easter parade, letting me know that she had had a similar experience living in the Philippines. It was really nice to talk with Kim about that experience. It was also kind of reassuring that someone did call me out and seek me, because I was pretty much afraid that, you know, someone might see me and then know who I am and say, you know, she's just a little bit too weird for me to be seen with. I also was afraid that no one would really want to talk to me. So having Kim call me out and talk to me first thing in the day, it really, oh, it's almost bringing tears to my eyes how happy it made me feel. So I spoke with her for quite a while, and then I went off to the main building to see what was there. I found out that a friend of mine who does the state fair with me was vending at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival for his first time. So I had to go over and say hey to him and see how it was going. His name is Lyle Wheeler, and he makes the most beautiful great wheels. I wish I had room in my place for him, and I know he will tell me that, you know, just take the couch out and it'll fit right there. But he doesn't understand quite how cluttered my house is. But the great wheels that he has are absolutely spectacular. He made a chair for me once for doing vending off of. It's a nice high chair that puts me up at eye level with everyone who comes to the booth, which is nice because generally if I'm standing there, I'm usually not at eye level. So it puts me up a little bit higher. I had a gentleman who was about 6'3" sit in my chair once and went to put his feet on the rails, and he said, "Your rails are at the wrong place." And I said, "No, they're not. This chair was built for me. It's a little bit wider in the base, a little bit shorter in the depth, and the foot braces are exactly where I need them to be. It's a wonderful chair." When I first met Lyle, one of the first things I asked him to do was cut off my legs. I had bought a spinning chair, and it was just a little bit too tall for me, maybe a half an inch to an inch too tall, and that wears after a while. So he had me sit in it. He measured it for me. He measured my leg. He measured the chair. And then he took the chair away, and about 20-30 minutes later, he came back with my chair, and it was the right height. Oh, it was wonderful. I sat in it, and my feet touched the ground. That's a very unusual experience for a 5-foot-tall person. I said, "How much?" And he says, "Ah, nothing." I says, "Well, you at least got to get a hug." So I gave him a huge hug for fixing my chair. Needless to say, Lyle has a special place in my heart, being a person who will make things to fit me, and he has some wonderful stuff, so I went by to see him. He's also got a somewhat wicked sense of humor, which is very dry, and although I didn't pull out the recordings, I did listen to him tell quite a few tall tales. And I enjoyed it immensely. So I was standing there talking to Lyle, and I was about to tell him about my podcast because I hadn't seen him for quite a while, and I wasn't sure that he had heard that I was doing this podcasting thing. When another woman came up and she said, "Carrie, I love your podcast." And it was wonderful. Absolutely great. She said that she had seen me earlier in the day, but I was entering the bathroom, and her husband told her that she could not stalk me into the bathroom. I felt like I should have told her that the only reason why I went into the bathroom was because there was no line, and as much as I drink, I can always go. I mean, when you go to these festivals, you never want to wait until you really have to go. If you do that, it's like an accident waiting to happen. Usually, I just, you know, if I see a line that's not too long, I go ahead and get in it. Or if I see a bathroom with no line whatsoever, I'm there immediately. So we sat and we talked for a while. Her husband came by. I met him. She had bought the most beautiful ebony needles. And I went, oh my God, where'd you get those from? And she said, Manning's. And Manning's was right around the corner. Now, I usually don't buy things from people who are just selling other people's stuff. I usually try to buy from the craftsmen themselves or the farmer themselves. But these were definitely an exception to the rule. For one thing, I always like to touch and feel before I buy, and I know that I can order online from Manning's, but I wanted to try them out, and if they are as wonderful as they looked and felt, I would definitely be buying some more. So I went over to Manning's, I checked it out. They did have size 0 and size 1, which is what sizes I like for making socks. And there was a bit of a line, but it wasn't a horrific line. So, you know, almost immediately, I'm breaking my rule, but I'm getting in line. And I wanted to talk to them anyway. I had seen this weaving thing. It's kind of hard to describe. It has a few prongs that stick out of it, and you weave through the prongs. It's kind of like a fork, you know, with the prongs sticking out. And you're supposed to be able to weave belts and straps and things like that of indefinite length. And I couldn't figure out how it worked. And I was interested in getting it. But like I said, I saw it in a magazine and I also saw it online. And unless I can figure out how it works and whether or not I would use it, whether or not it's comfortable for me to handle and use, I didn't want to buy it. Unfortunately, Manning's didn't know what I was talking about, which I'm not surprised. A lot of people, sometimes I don't even know what I'm talking about. So I didn't get that, but I did get these wonderful needles. So then I was back to just wandering around and seeing what's what. It was about 12:30 at that time, and I had told Sherry that I would try to meet her at the blog get-together that was happening at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. Now, I was a little nervous about the blog get-together. I skipped it last year, and I wasn't sure if I really qualify as a blogger, so I wasn't sure if I really wanted to go or not, but I really wanted to meet with Sherry. So I kind of sucked it up and I went, and I didn't see anyone that I recognized as Sherry. And I was standing there at the fence trying to decide, do I go in, do I stay out, what do I do, when a young lady ran up to me and said, my sister thinks she knows you. Do you do a podcast? And I said, yes. Who's your sister? And she said, Laura from Math. And I said, For Knitters. And Laura came up. I gave her a big hug. I love her show. She does the best job at making math and knitting understandable and reasonable. We sat and we talked and we talked and we talked. She had her microphone out and she interviewed me. And then I was like, oh, yeah, right. I've got my recorder device somewhere on me. And I searched around until I found it. And I got a story from her and I got a story from her sister. I really lucked out. And I'll be playing those stories in future podcasts. To tell you the truth, I haven't downloaded to make sure that I even have them, so I probably shouldn't make any promises that it will be the stories as recorded. I do remember them, so if the recording didn't work and I get their permission, I will be telling you their stories in my own way. So we sat and we talked and we had a wonderful time. But then I started getting hungry because I had skipped lunch since the lines were too long, and it was then about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I really needed to get food and I needed to go to the bathroom. So I said my goodbyes and I went off and I searched out a bathroom first, and then as I was coming out of the bathroom, I noticed the shirt line was next to nothing. There was only about 4 people outside the building, and the people started being served right at the door of the building. So I'm going, yes! I ran over there and I got into line and I got myself a shirt, so we wouldn't have to worry about me running around shirtless the next day. I was excited. Then I went and I got myself some food. There's one place that serves not only burgers and fries and the usual stuff, but they also have cooked vegetables and meat. I went there, I got a platter, and I had a nice meal of meat and green beans and coleslaw. After I ate and I was a little less dizzy, then I wandered around for a little bit more, and then it started getting dark, so I went on back to the car. I met up with Terry, and she hadn't eaten lunch at all, and she was famished. We decided we would go ahead and leave and try and find something that was quick and easy to get some food. There was a Golden Corral just on the next block over from our hotel, so we walked on over to there, and it was a bit of a madhouse, to tell you the truth. The wait staff was in a tizzy about something, I wasn't too sure what, and everything seemed a little bit off kilter. So, being the nosy person I was, I kind of asked our waitress, you know, how she was doing and what was going on, and she told us that they had been expecting a busload of about 150 people. And the bus was supposed to show up 2 hours ago, so they had closed off an entire section and waited. And they had waited until about 30 minutes ago and finally gave up on the bus and opened up the sections. Now, the wait staff who were supposed to cover those sections got no tips, nothing during that time in which they were waiting for those buses to arrive. And I don't know if you know this or not, but waitresses don't get minimum wage. They get less than minimum wage, with the owners of the restaurants claiming that the tips make up for whatever they don't get in minimum wage. But if you are sitting there waiting for people and you're not getting tips, then they're making nothing. And it is, in my opinion, semi-criminal. So finally, they opened up the sections, and as we were leaving, she came by and said, "You won't believe this. The bus is here now, and we have absolutely no place to seat them." And Terry and I kind of looked at each other and said, "Let's get out of here while the getting's good." The next morning, woke up to a much colder and very breezy day. I got an email from Laura saying that the recording that she had taken of me and the interview was a race because she forgot to lock her system and it overwrote it. And she was wondering if she could get back together with me. And I said, no problem. So we arranged a time and a place to get together so that we could redo the recording and the interview. To tell you the truth, I'm kind of glad because I was a little scattered. I was just so happy to see someone who knew me again at the bloggers meeting and someone who made me feel like I kind of belonged in with the bloggers, that I was a little bit of everything and everywhere. And so I was kind of glad that that recording got erased and we could sit down and do a more organized, thoughtful recording. Here's the final day of the festival, and I still have 3 huge bags of fleeces in my vehicle. And we noticed that the reason why parking was so bad the day before was because the entire lower area that we were used to parking in had been turned into handicap parking. So that's why we were being parked in the boonies. Luckily, we were a little bit more on a flat area, and Terry agreed to carry one of the bags of fleeces for me. She had one bag and I had the other 2 bags, and the wind was so bad that it almost ripped one of the bags out of my hand. So we stopped to try and get resituated when these 4 women came up behind us, and one of them picked up one of the bags and said, "Zeilinger's?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "Okay, let's go." I have to tell you, that was the most wonderful thing anyone could have done for me. She picked up the bag and went with us, and we told her that she could just, you know, take it to like the entranceway and I would carry it there and come back and get it and get the other one. And she's like, no, it's no problem at all. I'm going to the main barn anyway, and they're right outside of it. As she's walking with us, we were talking about sheep and stuff. She has quite a few. And yes, I got a story from her and her permission to share it, which I will be doing at some future point. We were laughing and talking, and finally we got over to Zeilinger's, and I gave him my fleeces. I'm going to do something slightly different this year. I'm going to take Sprint's fleece and get it swirled in with Dot's fleece. Dot is giving me a lot less wool now. I think it's because she's getting older. I'm not 100% sure. But I didn't really want to combine it with Dash's, which I've done in the past, because Dash's was so big and so beautiful, I wanted to keep it on its own. Sprint's is not quite as nice, but it's really dark. So I thought that the dark black brown of Sprint combined with the lighter gray of Dot will just be wonderful. So hopefully this will work. I'm kind of holding my breath. Can't wait to get it back and to see what it's going to look like. So then I went on back to the van and I got my drink and decided that it was just too windy for either the hat or the big fucking flower. So that just had to stay in the van. If you were looking for me Sunday, I'm afraid I was incognito. In fact, when I came up to Laura, even though we had spent a couple of hours together the day before, she didn't recognize me at all. So I went to meet up with Laura and her sister, and Laura's sister had tracked down another listener of both Laura's podcast and mine. We had a wonderful time sitting there talking with Lisa and her friend. And I have to tell you guys, there's just something that is so reassuring to actually be able to put faces to people who have emailed me or commented or even just listened to me. It is so wonderful. It's so reassuring to know that there are actually people on the other end listening to what I'm recording. So we had a great time talking, and then Laura and I went off to redo our interview. We spent some time wandering around from one booth to another, and I have to tell you, Laura was delightful to be with, and she is a much better podcaster interviewer than I am. We were near some alpacas, and yes, I know, it's a sheep and wool festival. Why is there an alpaca there when an alpaca is not a sheep? Well, they do allow other fiber animals into the festival. They just aren't part of the whole judging thing that's going on. But people bring other animals, and that you can find other animals for sale. There are Angora goats, Angora bunnies, alpacas, and llamas, all there to be touched and looked at and bought if you were so inclined. So we came to some young alpacas, and they were making a mewing noise, and Laura whipped out her recorder and had that mic in front of that alpaca, and I swear it looked like she was trying to interview him. So I, of course, whipped out my camera and snapped a picture. It was priceless. Once I finished up with Laura, I really needed to take care of a few more things because we were going to be leaving about noon, and I had lots of things that I needed to get wrapped up and finished. So I ran around, talked to a few more people, and then we made our way back to the car. Terry was a little bit late getting there because she had found this most spectacular roving as she was on her way out, and of course had to get it. And I couldn't blame her at all. This was some beautiful stuff. So then we decided that we would let the GPS tell us how to get home. I know it's a step on the wild side, but we figured since it did such a good job actually getting us to the hotel, we were going to let it tell us how to go home. I had made some adjustments because Wayne had it set at shortest distance, and we didn't want shortest distance because that took us on business routes and we wanted least traffic. So we turned it on and we started going. And I had a bad feeling about it almost at the beginning. And I zoomed out the map, and I know you're not supposed to be doing that while you're driving, so don't do it while you're driving. I zoomed out the map and I saw that it was going to take us on to 95. And no, I'm sorry, I will not do that. Even though it said that we would get home at 6 p.m., I'm sorry, I do not want to drive through Washington, D.C. and Richmond, Virginia. I don't like interstate driving. I don't want to do interstate driving. So we stopped, and I selected a few more options, and I told it no highways. And it informed me that we would be getting home at 12:15 a.m. And I said, good gracious, and I turned it off. And we made our way back over to 29 and started the route that we knew. Once we were well on to 29 and it couldn't argue with us anymore, I turned it back on, and it was very helpful because the turn on to 86, sometimes I miss, but with the GPS telling me ahead of time that I was going to be turning, we made the turn and we got home at 7:15. And as far as I'm concerned, an extra hour and 15 minutes of driving that doesn't include driving through DC or Richmond, Virginia, is a well-spent hour and 15 minutes. Besides that, it didn't take into account all of our, you know, pit stops, which I have to make because I drink a lot. So we got home in one piece, and I had a wonderful time. And now you're probably asking, but Carrie, Are you telling me that all you bought was a t-shirt and a couple of pairs of ebony knitting needles? Oh, no. No, I bought a lot more than that. And let me tell you about the wondrous finds that I found. I made a list. I got the ebony sock needles, which are made by Lantern Moon, and I got those from Manning's. I got this really adorably cute clay pot that you use for wet spinning, and you do wet spinning when you spin linen, and I got that from the spinnery. I got two Journeys spindles. Now, I usually get Hatchtown spindles. I love Hatchtown spindles, but Hatchtown wasn't there this year. I was very disappointed and somewhat worried about him. He has had some health issues in the past. I'm hoping that he's fine and they just decided to take a break from the festival because I'm sure the festival is a lot of work. I was kind of searching around for another spindle to get. And I was touching and feeling and trying out different spindles, but like I said, I didn't want to just buy a spindle from someone who was selling someone else's spindles. I wanted to actually get something handcrafted and from the craftsman himself. When I saw that Journey had spindles, I thought I should check them out. Now, I had seen their book charkas. They come in two different sizes, and I've also seen their spinning wheel. Now, their spinning wheel is very unique. It's one of those wheels that turns the heads of men as much as women. It is a masterful piece of carpentry, and it has a cabinet that completely encases and holds the wheel safe. It's a very unusual wheel. It closes down into a case and has a strap so you can carry it. One of the women that is in the guild that I sometimes go to, she has one. She absolutely loves it. I had never tried their spindles before. So I wandered into the back and tried a couple of their spindles. Now, their spindles are made for long spinning. I was educated on the difference of the spindles by Hatchtown. Basically, there are two types of spindles. There are fast spinning and long spinning. And the difference is where the weight distribution is. If you think about this in terms of an ice skater, you know, when the ice skater pulls her arms in, she spins faster. And when she puts her arms out, she spins longer. So, if the weight is on the outside, then the spindle will spin for a lot longer time. And if the weight is concentrated in the center, then it will spin faster for a shorter amount of time. And I like long spinning spindles. I tried out several different weights because these are handcrafted and they're using different woods. Each one weighs slightly different. It's balanced slightly different. So I'm playing around trying out different ones. And I look over and I recognized a woman. And I said, "Didn't I meet you last year?" And she said, "Yes." She was a listener who was about the only listener who stopped me last year to say, "Hey." So it was really nice to see her again. I had seen her at Hatchtown last year, so we were talking about our concern about Hatchtown and hoping that everything was okay. The people with the Journey wheels were very courteous, very nice, and I really loved their spindles so much that I bought two. I bought a small and a medium. Next year, I may go back and buy a max. They're really nice spindles. You guys should check them out. Now that I had a spindle, though, I had to get some roving to try it out. So I wandered around. I was looking for some merino silk blend. And I really wasn't seeing anything that caught my eye until I went to Liberty Ridge Farms, and they had the most spectacular silk merino top. I bought two different colors. They're pastels. Usually I go for bright colors, but they were so beautiful, so striking. I just got a couple of ounces of both just to try it out, and it is spinning up very nicely. Then, of course, I had to get some mohair wool roving from Kid Hollow Farm. I absolutely love her stuff. And every year I go in and I get a little bit of the different colors. She had some really beautiful new color combinations, so I had to try those out, you know, just had to. Another person that I always try to search out and get something from is the Barefoot Spinner. I picked up a really lovely dark turquoise, purple, navy blend of mohair wool that I'm looking forward to spinning up. And then I saw that she had some top that was space dyed. And it was space dyed in these lavender purples and browns. It's very different kind of colorway. And it felt very nice. It's a Falkland. I don't think I've ever spun Falkland before. It's a little bit rougher than merino, and I'm looking forward to trying it out. I found a really, really great bargain on some hand-painted silk rayon that was painted by Prism for the Hand Weavers Guild of America. They had a couple of different colorways, just spectacular stuff that I think is going to make a very nice, simple, rectangular shawl. Or I might even go so far as to do a triangle with this stuff. And last but not least, of course, I bought a t-shirt from the festival. And besides the t-shirt, I also bought a messenger bag and a travel mug. Let's not tell Wayne about the last part. He thinks I have way too many mugs, and he also seems to think that I have way too many bags. I don't know how you could possibly have too many bags or too many mugs. Well, I have rambled on for a considerable amount of time. I hope that you enjoyed this. I really appreciate you coming by and letting me tell you a story. If you have any comments or questions about any of the vendors or any of the things that I talked about, please come by the website. I'm going to try to link to everyone that I've talked about if I can find links to them. The website is autumnbreezedesigns.com. If you would rather send me an email message, my email address is Carrie, and that's carrie.autumnbreeze@gmail.com. Also, I have a voicemail number. My voicemail number is 206-666-5775. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.